I'm going to have read our passage of scripture, and Michelle's going to come sing for us. And the thought this morning is some things that I am thankful for. Without a doubt, this list could be much longer, but I don't think y'all want to be here for all the lists that I could come up with for the things that I'm thankful for. But six or seven things I want to share with you a little bit later. Let's first turn together in Psalm 92 and verse 1. Psalm 92 and verse 1, some things I am thankful for. The Bible says in Psalm 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, Most High. All right, some things that I am thankful for. Again, this is not an exclusive list, but some things I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Again, the Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to give sing praises to thy name, O Most High. I am thankful in the world that we live in today, so much confusion, so much political chaos is going on. I am thankful today that I don't have a monkey in my family tree. I am thankful that there is not a mummy as my Savior, that there's not myths in the Word of God. I am thankful that I hope you are thankful that you have a pastor that's not woke or a modernist, a mortuary for a local church. Folks, I tell you what, I've been to church services where there's more life at a graveside funeral service than there was in that church. I'm grateful to be in a church that has life. I am thankful for, number one this morning, for my salvation. I am thankful for my salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dear friends, he saved me by his grace. He saved me through faith and not guilt. Amen? I knew that I needed a Savior. He saved me for his glory. Not just to save me from hell, but for his glory. And now I have an opportunity to serve him. I am thankful for my salvation. And let me add, I am thankful that I got saved at a young, tender age. And no matter when you receive Christ as your Savior, we should be thankful for that time, that date, that place, that individual that God used to bring us to the Savior. Number two this morning, not only am I thankful for my salvation, I'm thankful for my Savior. John chapter 20 and verse number 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then these disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Dear friends, I have, because of my Savior, access to God through my Savior. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that my Heavenly Father hears me. I'm so glad that I have a Savior whose intercessory stands between me and my Lord on my behalf. So not just for my salvation, but for my Savior. I have access to God through my Savior. And then I have access to grace through my Savior. Boy, God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm so glad of the grace of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Dear friends, if you're here today and you can't be thankful for your salvation and you can't be thankful for a Savior, let me encourage you to trust Him today. Dear friends, I don't know where I would be today. I hate to even think where I'd be if I was brought up in a place and a time where I was not brought up in church, where I was not introduced to the Savior, where I did not have an opportunity to receive eternal life. I am grateful that I have a biblical perspective and not just a political, worldly one. Amen. Number three this morning, I am thankful for an interceding Holy Spirit. Oh, that sweet Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as ye are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit intercedes for me in prayer. I am so glad of having that indwelling of my Savior, Lord, knowing the Holy Spirit guides and directs me. That still small voice that still speaks to me, encourages me, and convicts me. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Dear friends, let me encourage you. If you're not quite sure how to pray, where to begin to pray, just start. The Holy Spirit will help you. Just start talking to God, trusting the Lord. He will intercede for you and He will help you. I am thankful for an interceding Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that intercedes for me in prayer, but also the Holy Spirit that intercedes for me with power. Folks, I could not do as a pastor. I could not stand here to preach or to teach or try to minister or shepherd you without the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit on my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Dear friends, I wouldn't want to try to do it on my own. I wouldn't want to make that attempt. I need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I don't have that I need, which of myself, of the flesh, but I depend upon Him to show me, to teach me, to encourage me, to speak to me, and to show me what I need to share with my church family, my congregation, how to encourage and how to uplift. Yes, I'm thankful for an interceding Holy Spirit. And then number 4, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Dear friends, don't take it for granted. I have traveled and I've been to countries, you know, missionaries. You yourself may have traveled and been to places, but there's still areas where people don't have access to the Word of God. Even some dialects that don't even have it in their own language. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Word of God, dear friends, the Word of God guides me. The Word of God will guide you if you will allow it to work in your life. We are on a journey from earth to glory, and I want to make sure that I enjoy my trip. Amen. Without a doubt, I'm new to the Arizona area. I'm still learning my way around. If you drop me off downtown Phoenix, I'd be lost. I'm grateful for cell phones today, smartphones that have GPSs. And dear friends, in this world that we live in today, the bottom line is we need that spiritual GPS in our life to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to light the Word a path unto us as we start our day, day by day. His Word guides me. Then also the Word of God protects me. It warns me of sin and it comforts me in sorrow. Well, what a blessing to be able to read the Word of God, and it just magnifies and shows us what we need to clean up, what we need to change, what we need to keep on doing or what we need to start doing. But it also comforts me in sorrow. How I can turn to the Psalms and other places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit can comfort me and encourage me during the hard times and the difficult times. The list goes on and on and on of examples we can give. But I'll just give one and I'll move on. I remember that late night at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I can't remember. It was late at night. The phone rang there in Slovakia. And on the other end, we was being informed that our son was being medevaced from Iraq to to the American facilities in Landstuhl, Germany. Boy, I tell you what, I woke up real fast. Michelle and I just looked at each other. We weren't sure what we were going to do. We took a moment and had a time of prayer, allowed the Lord to comfort us and give us direction. We got the girls up, we loaded up, and we started driving to Germany. What a blessing as the military there housed us, put us in a place on base and gave us a room, even provided food in the cafeteria downstairs or the lounging area while we waited for our son to be medevaced coming in. And many others have faced the same things and other tragedies in their life. But that comforting Holy Spirit that encouraged us and comforted us on that long 17, 18-hour drive to get to Germany. The Word of God guides me. The Word of God protects me. Think of all of the benefits of being a child of God. We are a child of the King. Folks, our heritage is incredible, unbelievable, and one day we will see Him. Number five, I am thankful for fellowship with the saints. Boy, I tell you, folks, I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy coming on Tuesday coffee fellowship with the men. I enjoy coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I enjoy coming through the week with the activities that we have and the game nights and potlucks and the fellowships. I enjoy being around God's people. It's encouraging to know that we are like-minded, have the same frame of mind, the same thoughts and desire to serve and live for the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I am thankful for the fellowship with the saints. You see, the saints encourage us with fellowship. Folks, I can be having a rough day. It could be one of those times that I'm just feeling rough. I mean, folks, I was feeling horrible this morning. But it didn't take long for me to get here, to be around God's people, to spend some time in prayer with the men, to be in Sunday school and be challenged from the Word of God from Brother Enoch. And then now the main service, the special music. Folks, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm encouraged to be around God's people. The saints will encourage us if you will allow it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I am grateful for God's people, not just here at Harvest Baptist Church, but when we travel and we go to the places, we go on vacation, and we look for a place to worship and to fellowship while we're traveling and to go in. It's almost like you find that right church to visit. It's like, wow, it's almost like being back home. And we may not know each other, but that kinder spirit, the music, the special music, the preaching is just so enjoyable. The saints encourage us with fellowship. But also notice in reference to fellowship with the saints love us through fellowship. We love on one another through fellowship. And dear friends, I can honestly say Michelle and I feel loved here at Harvest Baptist Church. And that's what it's all about, and I trust you feel the same way about us. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 8, even as it is meet for me to think this of all you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. You see, back in verse 3 of Philippians 1, it says that Paul had them on his mind. He was looking forward to them, that sweet fellowship who encourages us. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And here in verse 7, Paul has them on his heart. And dear friends, so often when I look at my prayer list and I pray through my prayer list and I have you on my mind, and I have you on my heart, I get a text message from you, an email from you, or a little phone call from you. It puts you from my mind to my heart, and I rejoice in that great fellowship that we have with the saints and one another. Let's make sure that we take full advantage of the things that the Lord has given us, and especially that wonderful opportunity of fellowship. Dear friends, I am thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my Savior. I'm thankful for an interceding Holy Spirit. I am thankful for the Word of God. I am thankful for the fellowship with the saints. And then now number 6, I'm thankful for the second coming. I'm anticipating it. It's not come yet. It's not referred to the past, but it is coming. The Bible tells us in John 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dear friends, I am thankful for the second coming. The guarantee of the second coming we see here in scriptures. He says, I will come again. Dear friends, I don't even want to pretend to tell you what it might be like in heaven. I read here in Scripture where he says, I go and prepare a place for you, and there will come again. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I'm getting adjusted here to Arizona. I'm not used to raking the rocks, but sometimes I wonder if my mansion is going to have beautiful green grass. Michelle's confident, sure, that there's going to be a Krispy Kreme conveyor belt with a hot now sign on all the time in the living room and kitchen of her mansion in heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but it's going to be better than that. Better than that. It doesn't matter what you like, what you enjoy, what you get excited about. It's going to be multiplied when we get to heaven. I am thankful for the second coming, the guarantee of the second coming. The Bible tells us of Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Dear friends, as sure as he went away, he will come again. And one day I will be with him, whether it be the absence of taking my last breath or the trump may sound, but I will be with him. I will be in my, dear friends, I tell you what, I think I'll be so busy enjoying and praising God, I might just miss out most days on that hot Krispy Kreme donuts in my mansion. I'm going to be busy praising him, glorifying him, and all the fellowship that we're going to have in heaven. We might as well just get ready to practice and enjoy now, shouting once in a while, getting happy about the goodness of God, knowing that this world may be going to hell in a handbasket, but he's coming back and all things will change and will be different. But until then, we'll do our best to serve him. Yes, Jesus himself is coming back for us. In the same manner he went away here, as it says in Acts 1, 9 through 11, he will come again. Boldly, with a shout, and with the sound of a trumpet, he shall return. The Bible tells us in Psalm 47 and verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Yes, the guarantee of the second coming, but also notice in reference to the second coming, the comfort in the second coming. Oh, man. No more aches and pains. No more backaches. No more bone spurs. No more plantar fasciitis. No more cancer. No more sickness. No more sinus infections. No, the list goes on and on. There'll be no discomfort and no pain in the comfort of the second coming. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians, hey, and there'll be no politicians running for re-election. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's absolutely free. Wasn't even in my notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, the comfort of the second coming. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which ye have no hope. For if we believe that Christ Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in hell will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent him which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Dear friends, that's some comforting words right there. No more heartache, no more sickness, no more elections, no more disagreements. Gentlemen, no more intense fellowships with your wife. It'll all be done and over with. No more trips to the mall carrying her bags along with as I follow behind her. No, it'll all be gone. It'll just all be about him and fellowship with the saints, glorifying God and just having a good time in Jesus' name. Hey, don't misunderstand me. I like going shopping with Princess. I just like to tease her once in a while. I do carry her bags gladly. But one day I'll be carrying water for my Lord Jesus. Amen. Ah, boy, I tell you what. I'm ready to go. Ready to go. When you see, as we read here in our passage, when you see a wherefore, find out what it's there for. It means for this reason, or in the light of what has been said. The Lord says, he's coming back. We don't know when. We know the how. We know the where. But we just don't know when. Until then, we just need to be busy about our Father's business. And then number 7 this morning, the conversation of others. we should get excited about not only the conversation, but the conversion of others. Getting excited when somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The conversion of others. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those sayings. And Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with the palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Dear friends, what joy it is when sinners are born again. I tell you what, we should get excited about conversion, and those conversions should change our conversation. We are to get excited about the goodness of God when someone comes to know the Lord, when someone's life changes, when someone drifts away but then comes back to the Lord. Dear friends, what a joy it is when sinners are born again. It brings joy to your family. It brings joy to other believers. It brings joy to the church. Dear friends, if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not settle that today? Right. Folks, we live in a time today, I don't know about you, we're all different. But when I'm taking a trip and I'm going on vacation, I don't wake up the morning of and say, okay, let's go fill up the tank and see if we can figure out how to get there. No, I know ahead of time. In fact, I know how many miles I want to drive. I know where I want to stop at the hotel that's in a good area, that's got a good restaurant nearby or within the hotel itself. I want to lay out that plan to know exactly how I'm going to get there, what route I'm going to go there, and maybe look at a different route coming back so I can see some different scenery. I want to know where I'm going and how to get there. I want to make sure there's no road construction, detours. I want to make sure there's no rally going on that I've got to fight with to get around. Why should we not prepare for the future in heaven as well? Folks, if you're here today and you know that you're saved, then you've got a shout in your voice, you got some pep in your step, some excitement about your life. But if you don't know the Lord and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, why wait until the trump sounds? Why wait till when you may or may not take your last breath? Why not just get that settled today? Hey, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Dear friends, the Word of God is so basic, it's so simple. The Bible even calls it as childlike faith. It's just simply knowing and realizing that I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realizing there's a penalty for my sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, I know I'm a sinner, I know there's a penalty, and I can either choose and receive my wages, or I can choose eternal life. For thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends, I don't know about you. There are some days that I'm not happy. There are some days I just don't have a lot of excitement. And then I'm reminded of who I am, a child of the King. I'm reminded who I have and what I have in Christ. And that changes my perspective, that I might go through life with my glass always half full and often full and running over. Dear friends, if you know that you know that you know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, I rejoice with you. But if you don't know and you have any doubts, we would love to take an opportunity to show you how you too can pray and trust Christ as your personal Savior. Dear friends, I am thankful for my salvation. I am thankful. Notice what I'm using here. My salvation. My Savior. I'm thankful for that interceding spirit in my life. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the fellowship of the saints, not just here at Harvest, but others that I meet along my way. I'm thankful for the second coming, knowing that He is coming back, that He has prepared a place for me. And I'm thankful for the conversion and conversation of others. What are we thankful for? Have you been born again? If not, why not come now and trust Christ as your personal Savior? Are you thankful enough? Do you express your appreciation to others as well as to Christ for what the Lord has done for you? Dear friends, when's the last time you bragged on Jesus? When's the last time you just had to tell somebody about that? Dear friends, we do a lot of things. Miss Marlene, if you want to make your way to the piano. We do a lot of things for our kids and for our grandkids and for family members. Last night, Michelle and I spent an hour on an audio call that was grueling, painful sales pitch. But because it was our grandson, we did it. A freshman in college, trying to make a little extra money, we did it. Had to burst his bubble, we didn't buy anything, but we did listen. Okay, he got at least a check a box that someone listened. Folks, if we'll do those type of things for our loved ones, will we also not be willing to tell someone else how to save their soul? What's more important in the light of eternity? Giving an hour to a kid or a grandkid, or taking a few minutes to tell somebody how they know they can be saved? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, we'd like you to come. Let's all stand together, the heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed in a few moments. I want to ask Christians across the auditorium if you would pray there where you stand or here at an altar. Just maybe thanksgiving, saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Father, thank you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my Savior. Thank you for the interceding Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the fellowship that I have with those that are around me. Thank you for the second coming. And Father, thank you for the conversion of others. If you're here today and maybe you're not sure, there's nobody looking but me and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you lift your hand up and down and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know, and dear friend, I promise I won't come to you. I won't pull you aside. I just want to pray for you. Maybe you lift your hand up and down and say, pastor, pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. There's one. Is there any others? I would love the opportunity to talk to you at your convenience when you're ready. Maybe here today you know someone that's not saved. Maybe you know someone that's wayward, has gotten away from the Lord. You know they're saved, but they're just not living the way they should. Why don't you join me in prayer there where you stand or here at an altar and ask God to intervene. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy of service, the blessings of joy of fellowship. Thank you for those that have come and prayed, Lord, of refreshing of thanksgiving and thankfulness to you as well as praying for others. Father, I pray that those that are here today that signified of raising hand that they're not sure that they're saved. Father, would you speak to their hearts? Would you give them comfort? Would you give them the courage they need to come and talk to me? Or the best way they know how is just simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Father, please forgive me and save my soul. Well, that's all it takes. That's all your scripture says, that they'll that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, help no one leave here today without having that settled. It's represented here this morning that maybe not ever forgotten about things to be thankful for. They'll take some time today and rehearse in their bulletin with the outline and be thankful for the wonderful things that you've given us. Father, now bless, I do ask and pray as we continue. In Jesus' name. The heads are bowed.